digestive creation possible with it, at least we can get it. But you can actually listen to all the other gospel presentations online as well, and think about them for next week. He's given you some questions on the newsletter. So anyway, for the creation gospel, Francis started with the question, how do we account for our existence? How is it that this world exists, and what is our place in it? And the various accounts from different cultures over time often describe the creation from darkness to light, from nothing to something. The people of God recognize the goodness of God in their history, and in creation, and in the dignity of humanity. That the steadfast love of the Lord never changes, his mercies never come to an end. And out of that, they told their creation story in contrast to the stories being told by the people around them. The stories around them were definitely not good news, with humans being the drudges of the lowest portion of creation, and they're living at the whim of some sort of horrible god or gods. The modern materialistic account of our existence that we have around today, that's also not really good news for us. The God's people told their story in light of their experience of God and his covenant relationship with them. And the two stories that we have of creation at the beginning of Genesis were told to rebut the other creation myths that were around. They related everything to the one true God rather than the idols of the surrounding peoples. And the good news that was conveyed by their stories, if you could go back one slide, please, sorry. The good news included that all existence is intentionally created, spoken into existence by God's will. It's no accident. That it's another good news is that God is a person apart from creation itself. God is other. God is not creation. One of the things that comes out from the creation accounts in Genesis is that creation is profoundly ordered from the beginning, step by step. And that is what leads to the possibility of scientific investigation of it. Yes, Genesis made science possible. And then this humanity is the pinnacle of creation, made for friendship with God, to collaborate with God in caring for and enjoying God's creation, and that continuing creativity within creation. God breathed his own spirit, his own breath into us. You could say we taste his life. And then, of course, everything was created very good. And that story of creation is referenced to Jesus at the beginning of John's Gospel, we also heard today. He emphasizes that Jesus, the human being who lived among us on earth, was the reason, the rationality of the universe, the Logos, the Word spoken to create, the source of life, the light of all people. So that's all the good news that Francis pointed to in that creation gospel. Now I want to look today at the implications of this creation gospel, this good news for us and our relationships with God, with creation, with each other. What are the implications of this for us as God's people, his church? So let's begin with our relationship with God. Our reading from Romans today points to one implication. When someone creates something, there is always something of themselves to be seen in what they've created. An artist or a musician can make a social or political statement through their work. It's what they think that shines through. Your creation or present for someone, a cable, a useful object, or whatever it is, that shows your affection for them. Creation of a picture or a photograph which you frame on the wall, that may reflect how you see the beauty or the interest of that original scene. There are so many ways in which the reflection of the creator is seen in the creation itself. So, what do we see of God in the created universe? Paul, in his letter to the Romans, points to God's eternal power and divine nature. The power, the energy, the magnificence of the universe. That reflects a creator who has this power at his fingertips. His divine nature, that he is God, something totally other than humankind. That's shown by the universe being so far beyond anything mere humans could conceive of. Even today's best science is barely scratching the surface of what can be known about it. This is where our awe, in the fullest sense of that word, our fear of the Lord, is a fitting response. Your fear of the Lord doesn't come from God being supposedly a punishing figure in the clouds, so to speak, a headmaster type figure or worse. Now, our fear of the Lord comes from looking at the universe. That's where the biblical writers got it from. It's the creation of the universe is a fearsome being. What we know now through our little scientific exploration of the universe, from its largest to its smallest remnant, I have that picture now if you like. what we know now through our little scientific exploration of the universe is so much more than the biblical writers knew. We know, for example, that there are about 200 billion galaxies of about 100 billion stars each. These numbers are just mind-boggling. The universe is mainly made of empty space, too. They didn't know, back in biblical times, the complexities of the biological system that makes up our human body, for example. They didn't know how tiny the components are, or the atoms that make up all matter. There are more than a billion trillion atoms in every little gram of anything. That's just an incredible thing to think about if you start to think about it. The universe is awesome. Let's just take a moment to let that awesomeness sink in. That's real worship. God, you are terrifyingly awesome. Wonderfully awesome. We have the next judgments. We also see in creation that God has provided for us a world that can produce food and clothing, water to drink, sunshine to warm us, beauty we can enjoy in the smallest flower, or the mountains, the seas, sunsets and stars. A way of being human in families and with each other that nurtures us. so much more that God has provided for us in creation, and what He has created, what He's designed, what He's made. These are just some features of the world that God created, and they reveal a caring Creator. Providing for us is the pinnacle of His creation, even though they're often masked by the effects of the fall. And the most wonderful feature of His creation of us is that He created us for a relationship with Him. We were made in God's image, and He breathed His Spirit into us. That means that even though He's so much other than us, we have the capacity to relate to God in person-to-person ways. And the God we are to relate to has revealed God's self to us. God is Father, Son, and Spirit. God Himself, within Himself, relates person to person. Genesis and John's Gospel point to how God, three in one, was involved in creation. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, the very beginning of Genesis. The altars that is came into being through the Logos, Word of God, who later dwelt among us. The God, three in one, was involved in creating in this way that we see. And so, as human beings, as that pinnacle of God's creation, we are invited to join in the relationship of God and God's self, the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, person-to-person relationship. So we are created to be in relationship with the awesome God who cares for us and provides for us. What an amazing, wonderful revelation it is. Now, this in itself has implications for how we relate to our fellow human beings. Every one of us has been created to be in that amazing relationship with God. The rest of the gospel, the fall, redemption, and transformation are all part of that. But just the fact that each of us is created for this relationship, has implications for how we treat each other. Every human being has dignity and honor of being someone whom God wants to relate with. So who are we to treat anyone any less? Society speaks so much of human rights, as if just being human meant that we should have our basic needs met by each other. But that only makes sense in the light of us acknowledging that it is our Creator who bestowed the honor of such value upon us. It is our Creator who provides for us and gives us the responsibility of ensuring that that provision is shared with each of the human beings He has made. As equally privileged to be provided for by Him. You could say that even the good news revealed in creation shows us that we should love our neighbor as God has loved us. And it's that value, that dignity and honor that God our Creator has given us that is good news to share, that we can share with those who do not know Him and relate with Him. Surveys have shown that most people in our surrounding society want to have some sort of spiritual life. And almost everyone feels something of the spiritual when they see something of beauty in nature. You know, if you're out in nature, you can very easily, point to a sunset or a wonderful view, and people will immediately have something in common and feel like there's something here. definition of beauty, that spiritual experience that we all share, that can open up the opportunity to speak together of creation. And then the awesomeness and the provision of the Creator and His desire to relate to us. Good news that a lost world needs to hear.
Let us pray.